I like what we was talking about in these songs, you know, was talking about trust in the Lord. It's sweet to trust in Jesus, amen, you know. You know, faith goes hand in hand with trusting in Jesus. And prayer also goes hand in hand with that. I believe we started the right tempo tonight, if you would. I'm glad we have a place to come to. I'm glad we have a mediator. I'm glad we have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the veil was rent in twain, that we might be able to come and have access to the throne of grace boldly. Here lately, these last few weeks, off and on, I've been talking to the youth downstairs a lot about establishing a good relationship with the Lord Jesus at a young age now, and learning how to benefit and utilize the Lord. He told us to come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He told us, you know, in God's Word, we know that the book of Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, we may be able to go to the throne of grace and find help in time of need, you know. So, you know, the Lord's really laid it on my heart, just a few things about prayer tonight. Just a few things God wants us to know about prayer tonight. And if you would, turn to the book of Nehemiah. You can find that in your KJV on the white pages in the black letters, Brother Albert. I like that. Amen. Book of Nehemiah. Now, the book of Nehemiah is written, are these things took place shortly after, maybe a little over a decade, I'd say about 12, 14 years after Ezra. Ezra had come back with a remnant out of captivity, out of Babylon, with God's people, and rebuilt the foundation. The temple was established again, and then the walls wanted to come up. And if you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah, we know that there's a lot of adversity during that time when Nehemiah had that burden to go back and help his people and to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Sanballat and his cronies wanted to interfere and hinder the work of God. Amen. And if we're ever living in a time today to where we see people wanting to hinder the work of God and to be a hindrance or an obstacle, if you would, through God's work, we're living in those times. You know, we're living in a time now to where men's heart have hardened towards the things of God. We're living in a time now when you look around, you see great adversity, great oppression, a lot of discouragement in the world, a lot of discouragement in God's people, a lot of discouragement in God's house, amen. You see a lot of discouragement, a lot of defeat, and a lot of burden that's, you know, that are weighed on people. And I believe we need a time now to be more consistent and more faithful and more prone to go to God and communicate to Him than ever before, Brother Terry. One thing I've learned in life here is it's very hard to communicate your feelings properly. It's very hard to communicate your feelings properly to those that you're trying to communicate them with. A lot of times we get nervous when we get in these odd situations. We don't want to approach certain circumstances because we're afraid to offend people, you know, and a lot of times people have a hard time telling, you know, just simply, I hurt your feelings or you hurt my feelings. I want to get this thing right with you. A lot of times it comes out as frustration. A lot of times it comes out of anger. And that's something that we carry with us throughout our adulthood, and that we learned how to do it when we were children. It's very difficult to go to Daddy and Mama after we did something wrong and say, Daddy, Mama, I did something wrong. Would you please forgive me? A lot of times we try to cover up our faults or cover up our sins and try to hide them up under the tent like Achan. Amen? We have a tendency to want to cover up our feelings and not show our true character and not show our true personality towards one another. Therefore, we have communication barriers. And a lot of times I believe we have that same relationship with the Lord Jesus because we don't know how to talk to Him quite like we should. We struggle with that. I struggle with talking to my wife. You know, husbands and wives have a hard time communicating to one another. Children have a hard time communicating with their parents. Parents have a hard time communicating with their children. Now, everywhere you go, people have a hard time communicating to one another. And I believe that God has given us a great deal of information here in the book of Nehemiah that will help us be able to communicate properly with God. And I believe we really need to learn how to communicate and get that established in our lives. Like I said, I've been talking a lot with the children downstairs about setting a good foundation in your prayer life with God, because you don't want to scatter around and scamper around later on in life when you do need to learn how to use it, when it's too late and you don't have any structure or any foundation laid, and you're running around, you're scampering around, you're scurrying around, and you're trying to find a source, you're trying to find an outlet. And if you go ahead and do it as a child now, you'll already have it established and you'll be able to utilize it, and you'll be able to understand that later on in life you're going to need Jesus a little bit more than you did yesterday. And I'm telling you, times are, it gets a little bit more difficult, it gets a little bit more challenging out in the world when you get out there and you're having to do things on your own and you're having to make decisions on your own and you're going about. And you're developing your character, you're developing your personality, you're developing who you are, and you don't have mama and daddy leading you, you don't have mama and daddy guiding you, you don't have mama and daddy protecting you, you got to be your own person. If you don't have that relationship established with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, it's going to be a little bit harder tomorrow. And the longer you wait, it's going to get a little bit harder a decade from then. It's going to get a little bit harder 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, 40 years, a little bit harder then than it is today. That's why it's very important now to just go ahead and get this thing started, you know, so you can be able to utilize the Lord how you want to be able to utilize Him. Therefore, He'll be able to protect you. He'll be able to put that armor of God on you if you just yield to His Spirit and let him do the work, and you just cast all your care upon Him. And you just trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Hey, He's going to be there for you. He wants to be there for you. But hey, you got to do the work of just letting Him have it. Amen. Book of Nehemiah, starting at verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. That's something to take heed to right there, friend. And said I, beseech thee I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. This is one of the most beautiful prayers. I never get bored of reading this passage right here. I think it's a beautiful prayer. Verse 5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel. Notice he didn't say for myself, amen. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I, he's confessing his own faults, not everybody else's, amen. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee. We have, he included himself, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, Yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now there are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by the strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let not thou my ear be attentive to thy prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, the wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thou countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, liest waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I set him a time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, once again for this good day. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd show up tonight, help your people. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross tonight. Lord, I need thee. Lord, I pray that there'd be somebody here, Lord, who's in need of help tonight, Lord. Lord, that you would use these words to encourage them, to give them strength, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the many prayer requests that were mentioned earlier, Lord. Those that are sick, those that are dealing with physical ailments. Lord, those that are traveling up and down the road, Lord, may you show your traveling mercies upon them. Lord, if there be anybody here in the midst of us who's lost tonight, Lord, pray that you'd penetrate their hearts, Lord, and prick their hearts. Convict them and draw them, Lord. Save them. And be sure to praise you, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that you'd help me once again, Lord. May everything be done, Lord. Everything that's said, Lord, be done to magnify and lift up your holy and precious name, Lord. We love you and we thank you and we ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. The first thing I see here, that this man was broken for others. He was broken for his people. You know, if we would sit down tonight and look through Hall County or Flowery Branch statistical public pages, we would find a great number of percentage and increase from the last decade. Now, I really wanted to do this, but honestly, I just didn't have the time. But I thought, man, I wonder what the numbers and the statistics are in this area as far as what the crime rate was a decade ago and what it is today. And I guarantee I've never seen anything, any statistic prove otherwise any differently. Every statistic I've ever looked at has always increased as far as crime rate, children having babies out of wedlock, people who are getting pulled over for drunk driving, people who are living immorally, people who are set up and laid up by the government. The list goes on and on and on. But I've never seen a time so much, when you look around, to where the increase is just drastic. One year after the other, you see more and more. And I'm sure you've seen all these bad and busted magazines when you go into the gas stations and you go into the stores, and everybody's just glad to be there because they made the front page. I haven't quite figured that one out yet. I'm not one of those people who's going to be glad to be there because I got my picture taken and it's on the front cover of Bad and Busted. Amen. I'll never be happy about that, Brother Terry. I'll never be happy about that. But that's the kind of time we're living in. Nehemiah here, he had a burden for his people. And I believe we need to have a burden for our people today, brother. I believe we need to have some concern about our people today. I believe we're living in a time now to where we need to have a purpose for our prayer life. And the purpose is, there's people who need Jesus. Amen. There's people who are broken. There's people out in this world who are looking for something, but they don't know exactly what it is they're looking for. And they need somebody who needs to be a light to them to just pass by and just give them a good word. Amen. Somebody to help them, lead them to Jesus. Amen. Somebody to give them something that they have, that they know about, that they don't need to hoard up to themselves and be greedy with, but just go out there and have a burden, a real burden for somebody, and just share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus can and Jesus will. Amen. But Nehemiah here had a burden for his people. He had a great burden for his people. He was broken. So broken that his countenance showed that he was broken for his people. When was the last time we had a real burden for people? When was the last time we were really broken? When was the last time our hearts was just broken for what we was looking at when we went outside in this world and we saw the things that were going on and we were disturbed and we were bothered by it? When was the last time we had a real time with the Lord in that secret prayer closet and we were broken and we were asking the Lord to just do something in our lives that we might be able to make a difference in somebody else's life, and hating even the stained garment? Amen. It's been a long time, church. It's been a long time for us as individuals that we actually had a brokenness for the people that was around us. Amen. And I believe if we're ever going to do a work for God, if we're ever going to do anything for God, we got to get broken. Hey, the Bible talks about it in Matthew 5, amen? And Jesus Christ himself said, blessed are they that mourn. There's blessings that come from mourning. And that is prayer, amen? God hears those prayers. He sees those tears, and He knows all about it. And He's able. He's able tonight to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could possibly imagine, ask, or think. We've seen Him work. We've seen Him do great things. We've seen prayers answered in our life that we never thought would ever get answered. But yet, we don't utilize that prayer closet quite like we should. We only want to use it when distress comes. We only want to use it when the storms come. We only want to use it, hey, when times are getting hard, when times are getting rough, and everybody's broken and everybody's hurt. That's when we want to talk to Him. That's when we want to communicate with Him. That's when we want to say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. We ought to be ready to do it at all times throughout the course of the day. Amen. There's never a time in our lives where we don't go out in this world and see something that we can't pray for when we're walking by. There's other people that, hey, their countenance is telling us something. There's people that we pass in our day-to-day life, whether it be at work or whether it be at school, their countenance is telling us something. They're showing that they need something. And we got it. We ought to be broken enough to just be able to spend a few minutes with them, just to be able to share the good news. Amen. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says, pray ye for one another. Praying always for all men with prayers and supplications. Lifting up holy hands. Hey, I don't know how many times the word prayer is mentioned in the Bible, but if you look through that concordance, it's pages. Amen. There's a great importance to that. There's a great importance to be able to tell Jesus, hey, Jesus, I just want to talk to you. I just want to tell you. But I want you to be able to do something in my heart to where I'm sincere. Nehemiah was sincere about what he was going to. He had a sincere plea, Brother Terry. He wasn't thinking, hey, he wasn't selfish. He wasn't greedy. He wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't trying to lift up himself. He wasn't mentioning what he needed. He wasn't mentioning, hey, I need this, I want that. He was mentioning the burden that he had for his people. A lot of times I find ourselves, myself, I'm made up of the same stuff you are. And if you're made up of me, hey, it don't take real long to divert from that prayer. When you get in that prayer closet and you find yourself praying for somebody else, it won't take real long before it starts diverting over to you. It won't take long before you find yourself, but I, and me. From the time Nehemiah started this prayer until he finished it, it was all about his people. And he humbled himself before the mighty hand of God. And God exalted him in due time. One thing I see here, he didn't go alone. Before he ever went to the king, Brother Terry, he had already put on the armor of God. He had already got along with God. He had already prayed to God. And then he went to the king. A lot of times I find myself wanting to go out before, and then I'm asking God to help me in the middle of the storm. A lot of times I find myself wanting to talk to God in the middle of it, not beforehand. You remember that old MasterCard commercial, "Don't leave home without it"? That's like the armor of God, amen? It's talking about in the book of Ephesians, you know, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I told Brother Terry one time, I was telling everybody that those were my Jesus Nikes, amen? Everybody loves Nike. You can look around this world, man. Everybody's wearing Nike t-shirts, Nike pants, Nike shoes, Nike headbands. Might as well make a Nike car, amen? They'd make millions off of it. But people don't leave home without their Nikes, amen? People don't leave home without their Air Jordans, amen? That's what we ought to do. I want to be able to go out there with my Jesus Nikes on, amen? I want to be able to go out there and feel confident and comfortable in knowing that Jesus is with me at all times. And I ain't going to have to worry about it when I get caught with my pants down and scurry around in a frantic and get caught, hey, and not know what to do. I'm already going to be prepared. That's the way I want to live my life, Brother Terry. That's the way I want these young people to live their life, Brother Terry. I'm telling you, one thing you'll learn as you get older is I should have been a little bit more applied with my relationship with Jesus. I believe every adult in this room can vouch for that. You got people telling you. You got people telling you. But a lot of times, we don't heed the message. Nehemiah here heeded the message. Before the conversation was over, in the first few verses, the first four verses, he had already broken. He was already broken. He was already concerned. He had already committed himself before he got in that prayer closet. He had committed his heart before he even started making his plea up that he was serious about what he was doing. Brother Terry says, hey, like Brother Sammy said, this thing about serving the Lord is serious business. Don't you say that? It's a serious thing. I tell you what. I won't go there. Talking about them fence straddlers. You're better off being cold, amen? But you know there was power in his prayer. There was prosperity in his prayer. There was pain in his prayer. There was purpose in his prayer. There was a proposition in his prayer. All this came. And you know the consistency. You look at the consistency about the people. I'd mentioned that. He was consistent. You know, a lot of times what I find myself doing, Brother Terry, I'll throw up that prayer when I'm really, hey, when I'm weighed down with something. I got the weight of the world on me. And it's killing me. And I say, oh, I'm reminded the Holy Spirit of God reminds me of that one verse. Well, cast all your care. He careth for you. And I go, and I cast all my care. And it ain't too much longer after that prayer, that I done picked up the burden again. I'm carrying the weight of it again. So where's my trust at? Where's my faith at? Knowing that he's going to take it because I got this whole idea and I got this mindset and I got this frame of mind and this perception in my mind, just like you do, that, hey, I asked. It ought to be given. I just pushed that 10-second button on the microwave. A lot of times I'm witnessing to people, Miss Debbie, and I tell them, we're living in a microwavable Jesus time. That's the time we're living in, you know. People say, well, I need you, Jesus. Boop, 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 boop. 10 seconds on the microwave. Open the door. Boom, there it is. That's our mindset. But it don't take me too much longer after I've done cast all my care and I'm done praying and I've done picked up that weight and I've done picked up that burden and I'm carrying it myself that I say to myself, well, Lord, I'm demonstrating my faith. I'm demonstrating my faith right now. I'm not going to go back to you and ask you again. I'm not going to do it. The Bible says ask, seek, and knock. And a lot of times in our lives, Brother Terry, I've noticed that there's a lot of times in our lives that we'll go to open a door, and that door may not be open, but it don't hurt to keep on rattling it. You get the right key in there, you get connected with God in the right way, and that door will open. So he was consistent, but not only was he consistent, he was persistent. Right. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, he kept going back, and hey, time after time again, when he was talking to his heavenly Father, not thy will, but thy will. Hey, the people that thou gave me, I prayed for them, Lord. Kept going back, saying the same thing to him, and he went to the heavenly Father as a servant, and he humbled himself, and he put himself under the mighty hand of God. But you know what we do? You know what we do, Brother Logan? After that prayer don't get answered. We'll just quit on it. I don't know how many times in my life, in my Christian life, that I had a real burden for somebody. And I'd pray and pray and pray and pray on until I couldn't pray no more, that God would divinely intervene in their life. And I didn't see no fruit. And I didn't see that door open to witness. And then it would come to pass where I would see that door open. And then I'd see that door shut again. And I'd start up again. And then I'd quit again. And then I'd start up again. And then I'd quit again. 6, 7, 8, 9 months pass. Holy Spirit reminded me, hey, you quit. You been there, church? Y'all been there? It gets worse. You get so wrapped up with the rat race of the world. You get so wrapped up into work. You get so wrapped up into the cares of the world. You get so wrapped up in your spouse. You get so wrapped up into your children that you put God on the back burner. And you quit talking to Him. One of the biggest struggles you'll have in your life, one of the biggest struggles that each one of you children will have in your life, is talking to somebody and telling them truly how you feel. One of the biggest things that I tell Gabe over and over and over and over and over again, it's almost daily. Hannah can testify to it. Gabe don't like something? This is what you get. You know, I ain't no different. That's the funny thing. You know, I tell him, I say, Gabe, what are you trying to tell Daddy? I get down on his level, try to be real sweet, and I say, what do you want Daddy to know? Talk to Daddy. Tell Daddy what you're feeling. Because I don't understand that. I don't know what's going on up here. I have an idea, but I want to hear it. You know, we got a Heavenly Father that ain't no different. He knows. He knows what you have need of before you even ask, the Bible says. But He wants us to know. Mama was just talking about you. She's dirty. Hey, that's called backbiting. But you know, we ain't no different. I'm putting an emphasis on this right now. That demonstration I gave to Gabe, That's what we do. And if we don't learn how to do it to one another, how are we going to do it? How are we going to be honest before God if we can't be consistent? If we can't be persistent? If we can't just simply talk to Him like we're talking now? It's hard. It's hard. But it's critical in your Christian life. It is your lifeline to success in your Christian walk, is your communication with your Heavenly Father. If it's not established today, if you don't do something about it today, I'm telling you, it's going to be the hardest thing you'll ever face tomorrow as an adult. It'll be one of the most challenging obstacles and hurdles that the devil will continue to beat you down with if you let him. One example. Mamas, daddies, husbands, wives, y'all ever have a disagreement? Y'all ever communicate wrong? No, not at all. Not at all. I use Gabe as an example. I do that with Hannah. I can be upset about something, and instead of telling her what I'm upset about, it comes out in different mannerisms. It comes out in different ways. That's what I meant by that face of Gabe. That's what I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm feeling. But it just won't come out right, Brother Terry. It just won't come out right. And a lot of the times, I'm using that as a practical application so we can come back over here to a spiritual application. Amen? Because that's exactly what we do. I can't put enough emphasis on it. The problem that I have communicating to my wife is no different than the problem I have communicating with my Savior. I go to Him and I make that Gabe face, if you would, when I don't like something. All He's asking us to do, all He's asking us to do is just simply go to Him. Go to Him with the right motive. Go to Him with the right manner. Be consistent about it. Talk to Him. He loves you. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to tell Him about the things that make you happy, the things that make you sad, the things that hurt you, the things that make you angry, the things that bother you, the things that get under your skin. He wants you to talk to Him about your weaknesses. He wants you to ask Him for strength. He wants you to come to Him and say, I need confidence. I need you. He wants you to just be able to go to Him and talk to Him and say, thank you. I appreciate everything you've done for me today. I appreciate your words. I appreciate the opportunity you've given me. I appreciate us being here together. I appreciate my church family. I appreciate my pastor. I appreciate my church. I appreciate the people that you've put in my life. I appreciate all the things that I don't understand. I appreciate the things that I do understand. I appreciate the opportunity you've given me to be able to come to you in prayer and talk to you. Because before, I didn't have anybody to talk to like I can talk to you. That's what He wants. Why is it so hard? Nehemiah shows us that it's easy. I've never heard so much grace in a prayer. And so easily expounded. So easily articulated. So easy to just hear a few words spoken by a man, and the next thing you know, he was just gripped and broken and grieved, and he had to talk to Jesus right away. There was nothing about frustration. There was nothing about, you know, oh man, we've got to hurry up. We've got to get this done. We've got to do this. These feelings of anxiety that we struggle with in our lives, when it's just so simple. We've got a Heavenly Father who take care of it all. He loves us. Just a few things about prayer tonight.